Big-time basketball in the bluegrass. LSU, Kentucky will have a look-see from both sides of the court. He was the only local media member to talk to the commish. We'll see how that all went. He was the former coach. He's a vegan, and now he's trying to win where it's so hard to win in college football. Oh, we got a big show planned for you and yours today, Tuesday, February 12th, 2019.
Lowry with 10, 9, 8, gets it to Kawhi, drive, pull up, jumper, banks it in, and raises his fist. Kawhi Leonard banks home a 16-footer, Toronto up 127-125.
Hall gives it back to Harden on Finney-Smith for three, got it! The streak continues! 31 points for James Harden. That's 30 straight games now. 120-103 Houston.
Just playing the game the right way. They were doubling, putting two on the ball. When I got off the ball, we made the right plays, got good shots. Pretty simple.
From the league that never disappoints, Kawhi Leonard with a game-winning jumper to lead the Raptors to a win. And as you heard, James Harden, 30 straight games of 30 or more points. And he got it done thanks to an assist from his friend Chris Paul with under a minute to go. The streak was in jeopardy, but he got it done. A streak is going to come to an end tonight somehow, some way. Kentucky's won 10 straight, LSU's 12 of 13. It's a big showdown of SEC hoops at Rupp Arena, and you can listen to the ball game right here on 103.7 The Game. Pre-game show at 5:30, the tip of the game coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll head out to Lexington shortly. John Brady, who'll be on the call of the game for the Tigers, will join us in this hour. Then in hour number two, we'll go out to Lexington again. John Clay, the longtime award-winning journalist for the Lexington Herald Leader, will give us his side of the Kentucky Ledger. It's a tough place to play. It's a very difficult place to play. LSU hasn't won there in a long, long time. Not since Billy Gillespie was the head coach in 2009. I've been there. I've played there. I've done that. I was very fortunate to be on teams that ended up having a winning mark against Kentucky all time. Teams I played on were 5-4 against the Wildcats. We won an SEC tournament title beating Kentucky in Birmingham. It's still to this day the one and only SEC tournament title that LSU has won. It wasn't easy early on. We got blown out the first two times at Rupp Arena by 15 and by 20. But we came back and won the next two in Lexington, 93-89, 65-60. This is a terrific matchup, and Will Wade talked about this year's edition of the fifth-ranked Kentucky Wildcats.
Kentucky, this is obviously a different animal than we've been playing, and so their size, their length, their athleticism. How big they are down low, the way they defensive rebound the ball. Really, playing Hagans at point guard has helped them tremendously since they've made that change. He's just an absolute pest defensively, does a great job blowing up your offense, blowing up handoffs, blowing up ball screens, does a phenomenal job with that. Gets in the paint on offense, distributes it to Hero and Johnson, and if you help up, he drops it off to the bigs who just dunk it. So it'll be a big defensive test for us, obviously in a very, very tough environment against the best program in our league and one of the best teams in our league this season.
No question. This is a game that sizes up where you stand, not only within the league and your conference, but how you stand on the national stage. And nobody's done it better year after year, bringing in freshman after freshman after freshman and getting it done, getting them ready at this time of the year than John Calipari and Will Waite talked about his counterpart.
I mean, yeah, they're the best program in the league. He's a phenomenal coach. He's won national championship. He does a great job with those guys, how hard they play, how well they are defensively. To get those his teams with the young guys to play like they do is extremely, extremely impressive. Me having kind of gone through it for the first time this year gives you even more appreciation for just, you know, he doesn't get nearly enough credit for how good of a coach he is. I know, you know, I mean, he's a phenomenal basketball coach.
He really is, and all eyes on this one. It comes down to a simple formula. You know, look, LSU's got a battle on the boards. There's no question about that. You can't turn the ball over. You cannot give in to runs like they have of late. You cannot fall behind double digits at Rupp Arena. So the answer is plain and simple. And Will Waite, cut number 5, says what they have to do.
Yeah, we're not going to get as many possessions, and you know, we're going to have to shoot it better. We're not going to be able to just go grab 20 offensive rebounds against Kentucky. So we're going to need to make some shots. We're going to be, you know, we're going to need to keep it within a working margin. We're not going to be able to get down, you know, 16 points, 14 points, whatever it's been in each of the games. We're not going to be able to get down all of that. And just chip our way back in against a team like Kentucky. We got to keep it within working margins.
You got to go to the dance with who brought you to the dance. You got to dance with that. And what LSU has done is taken care of the ball, passed it around, good scoring opportunities. They take advantage of it. It's like Alabama. You know, I've always said LSU football shouldn't have a week off prior to the Alabama game. It's too much of a buildup. It's too much thought process. There's too much external stuff ahead of the game. And Will Waite, cut number 2, talked about that on the basketball side of things against Kentucky.
No, that's what we talk about. You know, I've said this before, the bigger the game, the narrower the focus. So you got to lock in on what you have to do. You got to lock in on doing your job completely, doing your job as well as you can do it, and you got to block out all the external stuff.
Easier said than done, but it can be done. Just hasn't been done very often. John Calipari, 11-2 all-time against LSU, and those two losses came in Baton Rouge. We'll talk to a man who was on that sideline at Rupp Arena many times. We'll head out to Lexington, Kentucky. John Brady will share the scouting report and the keys to LSU getting yet another win on the road, where they've been 5-0 so far this year in league play. That's coming up next on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. And with wall-to-wall TVs, there's no arguing over the remote. Where else are you gonna get all that? Not some boring old man cave, that's for sure. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 1037 The Game.
Again tonight, welcome back. LSU basketball in Kentucky to take on the Kentucky Wildcats, fifth-ranked team in the country. LSU, 19th-ranked team in the country. More importantly, both teams 9-1 in the SEC, only trailing the so far perfect Tennessee Volunteers. Let's head out to Lexington for a guy that's been in that arena and coached on that sideline many a time. Now doing the color work on the LSU Sports Radio Network, our good friend John Brady. John, when I mention Kentucky basketball as a competitor, what comes first to mind to you?
Well, they're hard to beat. I mean, that's the premier basketball program in the country that is the all-time winning team in the history of college basketball. I mean, that's... And I think one of the challenges for our team is just to get past that. You know, they know what Kentucky's about. They know what Rupp Arena is. They know about all that. And just to get past that and really just imagine there's another name on the jersey, and they're just like we are, and believe that we can come in here and win the game. I think that's the first thing you deal with when you come to a place like this.
And it takes a while to get to understand that, and that's what this is a young club, and that's something that it doesn't come easy. I remember getting my brains beat out for 2 years against them in Kentucky, but then all of a sudden you learn a little bit more and you realize LSU's got really good players, just like Kentucky does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been around this team yesterday. Today in the film session, today at the practice, the game day workout, and you know, this team is really loose. I mean, they're not uptight about it. They're relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, Will Wade and the staff's done a great job preparing them. They had a real festive workout this morning. The team was concentrating. But they weren't uptight. They were smiling and focused on what they need to do. It was a nice combination of being relaxed and focused at the same time. So I'll be surprised if we don't play well. Now, you know, Kentucky's on a 10-game winning streak, Jordy, and they're holding people to like 59 points a game over the last 10 games. They lead the SEC, giving up only 60 points a game in league play. And what you have is the leading scoring team in the league, LSU, at 84-5, and you have the stinchiest team in Kentucky. So something's got to give, you know. Something's going to happen out there tonight.
Is there a direct relation with Kentucky becoming that good defensively and them inserting that Ashton Hagans into the lineup at the point guard spot? I mean, he's a disruptive little son of a gun.
Yeah, he's 6'3", though. You know, he's got good size, and he is an excellent defender. And so how he defends Tremont will be one of the things to follow tonight. And also, I'm interested to see if they play Tremont Waters straight up, you know, hedge off ball screens, get back, and let Hagans guard him straight up. Although in the paper this morning, Calipari said he may not guard him every trip down. He said something may do some other things. So in my mind, when he says something like that, he may be facing some double teams, some traps to do some things to get the ball out of Tremont's hands.
Trey has seen all that and then some, hasn't he? During his brief career at LSU, he's seen just about everything.
Well, people haven't been committed to double teaming him off ball screens. They do it occasionally, but they haven't really attacked him hard. And even when he comes across half court, just run two at him, make him give it up, and then try not to let him get it back. You know, nobody's ever attacked him like that. I'm not sure what Kentucky will do. They may not. But it's going to be an interesting matchup between Hagans and Tremont to see who gets the best of who. I got a sneaking hunch Waters is going to be ready to play and take this thing personal. And he's going to be – I believe he has a big game tonight. It'll be surprising to me if he doesn't.
I'm with you. John Brady, kind enough to join us live from Lexington, Kentucky. This is one of those games where what you as a coach practice and preach from day one, this is what this one's all about. You got to get down in the stance and play defense, and it's a big man's game on the boards. Man, rebounding is going to be an unbelievable battle in this one, in my opinion.
I agree. And you know, where we have the advantage is our ability to rebound the ball, particularly on the offensive end. That's been our lifeblood the last, you know, 7 or 8, 9 games, is our ability to beat people on the board, go to the offensive glass. We had 22 rebounds the other night. You know, the two bigs for Kentucky are P.J. Washington, their leading scorer at 6'8". He's had 3 straight double-doubles. And then Reed Travis is 6'8", 240, the transfer from Stanford, averaging 12 a game and 7 rebounds. So these are probably maybe not tremendously athletic two postmen for Kentucky, but certainly very good post players that know how to play. And I think it'll be a good matchup tonight. In fact, this Kentucky team and our team match up quite well, to be honest with you.
I'm with you. What's your fondest recollection of playing Kentucky as a coach? Do you have one?
I don't have one up here. I said it the other night on the air. I said, Coach Wade needs some advice on how to beat Kentucky. Don't call me. He needs to call Coach Brown. So if he had, He had six. I struck out. I was 0 for 11. It's the only place at the SEC in my tenure at LSU that I didn't win or couldn't win or whatever the case was. Yeah. And we had some good games, but I just never could get over the hump and win up here.
I think I had a small part, but when I played, we were 5-4 against Kentucky, including the one and only SEC tournament championship in Birmingham. So we got stung early, but we caught up and got ahead late. Right. It's a great place to play and a tough place to play. And I think you hit a nail on the head. I think you got to get over that hurdle of who they are and the build, because the building gets such a reputation, and it's the only venue out there that's going to see 23,000-24,000 people. So you got to dance with who brought you to the dance, right? You got to do what you do and eliminate, easier said than done, all the peripheral things.
The best you can, and maybe youth sometimes might be an advantage. You know, we have, and no telling what those young players are visualizing or seeing or feeling. If there's any indication of how they were yesterday in film, this morning in film, today on the practice floor, if that's any indication, and I just left pregame meal with them, if it's any indication of how they are, they're not feeling like the pressure is on us. The pressure is on Kentucky to win this game. Mm-hmm. This is a game they need to play. You know, Kentucky still has Tennessee twice.
Yeah,
we only have Tennessee one time. So it's a big game for Kentucky to get as well. And if we were to steal this game for some reason, wow, that would put us way ahead of the game in terms of closing this thing out with everything in our favor. But regardless, my feeling is, regardless of what happens this evening, whether we win the game or lose the game, we're going to be a better team for the experience. If we win, fine. But if we do not, and we play well in this environment, it's certainly going to make us a better team down the stretch.
Absolutely. John Brady, kind enough to join us. I'm very curious. You mentioned pregame meal. Coach Brown always had us eat a piece of prime rib with a baked potato and a piece of toast. What were your pregame meals like, and what are Will Wade's pregame meals like?
Well, you know, today it's so much more advanced than you know, Coach Brown, and that was the. Now they have a variety we had some kind of pulled pork today. We had also baked chicken. We had chicken breasts. We had vegetables. We had two different choices of salad. I mean, the pregame meal is one of my favorite times because they really throw a nice spread, and it's a healthy spread. So I love going. You know, I was the first one there today, actually.
I ate so many prime ribs in my life. I can't eat prime rib to this day. I mean, I can't do it.
Well, that's a variety. Now they got the nutritionist, they got the street coach, and all these guys planning these meals out, and it's really well thought out, and it's really a nice spread. So they just do it right, and it's great for the players, and they have a variety of what they want to eat. They're not forced to eat anything; they have choices. Yeah. So you know, I think that's all a positive thing. Before the game, when you go in there to get, and Will Wade's relaxed with it. They come in, they eat, they visit a little bit. And then they leave. They come and go as they want. I mean, it's really a way I didn't do it, but it's really a relaxful way, and it keeps these players loose, which I think in a game like this, you need to be loose a little bit. But they're on edge, but they are loose, and they're going to enjoy it and have a good time.
Well, they know what this game's all about. This isn't so much about, you know, this is how do you rank nationally. This is a big-time program. This is where, you know, you make a name for a team and for yourself, and I think that's another a little caveat within the game is, you know, you can't try to make a name for yourself. You got to play within the system and the structure of what got you to 9-1 at this point in the season.
Well, it is. We're going to have to do what we've been doing, have the poise to do it. And I think that's one of the keys tonight. We keep our poise, particularly early in the game. You know, we can't let Kentucky jump on us, jump out on us at their place. The crowd will get crazy. And we've got to keep our poise early on. And I'm not as concerned about the score. I don't care if it's 4-2 after 10 minutes. As long as we're in the game and we have our poise, you know, it'll work itself out. But I think the first 6 or 8 minutes of this game for LSU tonight will be something to follow and see where we are when the game settles down.
We know about the matchup, Hagans possibly on Tremont Waters. What's another big matchup, or is there one that you see as a key for LSU to win? I think Cavell Bigby Williams can't get in foul trouble. I think this is a game they really need him in. Is that something you believe in too?
Yeah, I believe Bigby Williams and Reed Travis match up well. P.J. Washington, who's had three straight double-doubles, I'm not sure which one Will's going to put on the other, but those two postmen with us match up really well. You know, Hagans and Tremont will be something to follow. And, you know, it's Keldon Johnson is a 6'6 freshman for Kentucky. He's been three times a freshman of the week, and I think Marlon's going to guard him because he's athletic. They're about the same size. That'll be something else to watch is how we guard and who guards this freshman, Keldon Johnson, yeah, who's really played well as a freshman, particularly late.
Not that it means a whole lot, but I've never seen anybody. I saw David Thompson play in college. I don't think he jumps as high as Marlon. I've never seen anybody jump as high as that kid. Have you?
No, you know, David Thompson, I don't know if he was a little taller, but certainly he doesn't get off. He doesn't elevate or get off the floor any higher than Marlon does. He's NBA athletic, no question about it, and he's becoming a pretty good basketball player as well.
All right, 23,000. I mean, you know, did you get a little bit more amped up playing Kentucky, or were you more nervous playing Kentucky as a coach?
I got both. My insides weren't settled at all. I didn't sleep. I was up, you know, anxiety going through your body, anticipation. I couldn't wait till the game started. That's when I settled down and started figuring it out. Once the ball was thrown up and I started working, but all the build up to it, just sitting around the hotel and that sort of thing, that's the toughest part to me about coaching at this level is what you feel during game day before you get into that locker room and the ball's thrown up.
Yeah. It's one of the iconic places in all of college basketball, if not the number one place, that and Cameron Indoor. I think of Pauley Pavilion. Those are the meccas of college hoops. You'll be there tonight, courtside. Best seat in the house after the best pregame meal. It's a tough life, John Brady. It's a tough life.
Well, you know, he twisted my arm, but I said, okay, I'll do it.
I'll do it. Well, look, rest the pipes. Have a great call of the game. We'll all be listening. Good luck to the Tigers, and thank you for your time as always, buddy. Enjoy.
Okay, Jordy. Thank you, man. See you.
All right, you take care. So it is – look, let me tell you, there's more media coverage there. There'll be people inside that hotel lobby of LSU trying to get tickets. They'll be scalping tickets left and right. It's a big-time venue. It'll be packed to the rafters, and LSU has to come out, control the basketball, don't turn it over, make good shots, hang in early. Hang in early. Much more on this ball game as the Jordy Helpert Show rolls on. But next, we go to Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, the Times Picayune. You got to ask a question to the commish after that. You know what? You know when? We'll tell you, share his thoughts on that and more things in the NFL next.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfberg Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
Hey, we welcome you back. This is the Jordy Helfberg Show. Never a dull moment back in my hometown of NOLA, Nolens, Louisiana. Jeff Duncan kind of runs the show down there for NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, and he's kind enough to join us. Jeff, how are you, my friend? How's everything?
Doing great, Jordy. Fresh off of a week-long vacation, doing a little fishing down in Mexico. Nice and relaxed.
Good. If you got any extra, I don't fish, but I do love to eat it. So anyway, gee whiz, never a dull moment. I've got to ask you this because I haven't asked you since it happened. You were like the lone local Saints media member who got a chance to ask the commissioner a question at his State of the Union address. How come you and how unsatisfied were you with his answer?
Well, you know, I thought he answered everything that I asked him, except for what kind of repercussions would the officials incur.
Yeah.
That's the one thing he dodged, but everything else I thought he addressed. And, look, I thought he was – I think he was asked six or seven questions about the NOLA no call, and I thought he you know, look, he was prepared. He knew what was coming.
Sure.
And, Roger Goodell's no dumb bunny. I mean, he's got an army of PR people on his staff. I mean, they were well prepared, and they knew that they had to address it. I thought he handled it about as well as you could expect. I mean, obviously – They know they missed the call. It's a delicate situation. You've got good officials. I mean, those officials are among the best in the league. The reason they're calling those games is because they graded out so highly during the season. It's a reward for them for doing well on the field. Yet you have an egregious mistake. You know, so he doesn't want to totally throw the officials under the bus. And I think that's why he avoided addressing the individual official's performance, because it's no different than, you know, Drew Brees, the body of work he's had over his career. He's made a million great plays, but every once in a while he'll make a mistake and throw a really bad pass. That's what happened to the officials. We have less tolerance for that, I think, as a viewing public and a fan base and a media core than we do for every other walk of life. I don't know who would want to be an NFL official, to be honest with you.
Yeah. How surprised were you, Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, The Times, Picayune? I thought special teams were pretty good. Obviously, I'm not on the inside. I'm not at every practice, at every meeting, but they cleaned house with their special team coaches. Were you surprised by that?
Very much so, yes. It's the best year they've had in special teams since I've covered the team overall. I think they ranked number two in Rick Goslin's annual rankings. He does that for the Dallas Morning News. He's done it for years. They were solid in every aspect. And not only that, they went above and beyond. They had a bunch of successful fakes. But I think this had less to do with the staff that they currently had and more to do with Darren Rizzi, the coach that they ended up hiring to be the coordinator. He's extremely well thought of around the league. Some people think he'll be a head coach in the league. And his special teams units in Miami have ranked among the top five almost every year. So I think it had more to do with them recognizing he was available and wanting to get him on board than it did as a total indictment of the former coaches.
Yeah. Maybe a fresh voice will take them even to better heights. Maybe sometimes a voice gets stale, right? And maybe a new voice comes in there and brings in something new, something more innovative and creative, and maybe they get even better, I guess.
Well, look, I think this, Jordy, it was something I think of a demerit for Bradford Banta in that they had to bring in Mike Westhoff, and you know, he was basically retired.
True.
Brad Banta was hired to be the special teams coordinator. Kevin O'Day was the kicking specialist, and they had to bring in Mike Westhoff, and he was cited for a number of the really great fakes that they had. Some of his film study led them to make those plays. That's an indictment on Banta being the coordinator that they had to bring in help. I mean, the Saints had basically three special teams coaches. I think if you're looking at it as a head coach and as a general manager and you say, well, wait, we can go get one Darren Rizzi and maybe one assistant to do the job of three coaches, that's probably also figured into the equation.
Makes perfect sense. Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, The Times-Picayune. I understand the Pelicans across the street are between a rock and a hard place. The league says if Anthony Davis is healthy, you got to play him or we're going to hit you up for $100,000 every game he doesn't play. I understand the league's premise, but I also understand that the Pelicans, why would they play him? Boy, this is a difficult spot, and Alvin Gentry's right in the middle trying to be the puppeteer, the puppet master, being pulled in all kind of directions. What are your thoughts on this whole debacle?
Yeah, look, it's a completely unprecedented situation. This isn't Chandler Parsons playing out the string in Memphis or Dallas. You know, this is Anthony Davis, one of the top five players in the league, face of the franchise, and clearly has the most value to the franchise right now as a trade asset. And their best interests are to not play him. If he were to have some type of serious injury, you know, it could set the future of the franchise back years. So I understand all sides of this argument, but I think Adam Silver's got to be sympathetic to the Pelicans' situation here and yield to the wishes of Gail Benson and Dell Demps, Mickey Loomis, because this is unique, and they're basically – they had a gun put to their head by Rich Paul and Clutch Sports a few weeks ago, and I think that backfired clearly not only on Rich Paul but also on the Lakers. Let's face it, Jordan. This was a Lakers slash LeBron James slash you know, Rich Paul orchestration that didn't work out.
They
tried to make a play and it didn't work.
And
now they're paying the price for that.
Did you laugh when Magic Johnson said the Pelicans didn't act in good faith? I laughed hysterically.
Yeah, you know, come on, Magic. I mean, you got to know better than that. But this thing is, to me, it shows you a little bit of the inexperience involved with people that are making these decisions. I mean, Rich Paul is in the Asian community is not highly respected, looked at more as a you know, right-hand man to LeBron James. You got Magic Johnson, who's not experienced as a sports executive to some any degree. And I think it all showed here. And look, it's a mess that, unfortunately, a good guy like Anthony Davis, I think, has trusted his career to this group. And it makes me question a little bit his judgment, who's pulling the strings there. Because I think Anthony Davis is a good guy and wants to be liked and wants to do the right thing. But he's gotten in bed with some guys that clearly have other agendas. And right now, I think this whole thing is based around LeBron James, not Anthony Davis. I think it's all about trying to enhance LeBron James' legacy. And Anthony Davis is just caught up in it.
I agree 1,000%. There's nothing out there that he wouldn't change his mind in any way, shape, or form, would he? And say, wait a minute, I just heard Jeff Duncan on the Jordy Helpert show. You know what? That makes perfect sense. This isn't about me. It's about LeBron. Heck, they've shown me nothing but love in New Orleans. Let's try this thing. I mean, there's no way, right?
I think it'd be unlikely, but I think Paul George at one time probably didn't expect to sign a second contract with Oklahoma City and came around on that. I guess there's a Hail Mary hope that that would happen with Anthony Davis, but there's so many people involved in this decision that aren't just Anthony Davis. And I just feel like he's getting some bad advice from a lot of people.
I mean, is the current regime going to be the people that make this decision? Or do you think... I mean, that seems to me to be the most important question, even more so than what you get for Anthony Davis, is who's going to be making these franchise-determining decisions?
Well, I think right now, Dell Demps, obviously, still the general manager, and he's got the contacts around the league. He's obviously got the contacts with the agents. He has to be the one making the calls, fielding the calls. Danny Ferry, obviously former general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, is involved in the front office here. And Mickey Loomis is overseeing it all. Mickey Loomis is a very experienced negotiator, very smooth operator as far as handling negotiations. And I think he's serving in a consulting supervisory role. Certainly everything's being run at the flagpole to him and Gail Benson. But on the ground, handling everything is still Dell Demps. Now, what happens after the season, I think, remains to be seen. But I think the Pelicans did exactly what needed to be done. Field the calls, listen to offers, but don't rush into any decision until July when you know what the draft order is, what you're looking at here for this huge decision for the future of the franchise.
Very well said. Jeff Duncan, NOLA.com, the Tom Spicchio. A couple of NFL questions. Are you in the Kyler Murray camp? Do you think, from what you have seen and the fact that he's chosen football over baseball, first, do you agree with that decision? If that was your son, would you say yes? And do you think he's going to be all that in the NFL?
Good question. You know, look, the league is changing before our eyes, and so I do think that there's a place for Kyler Murray, who's kind of a cross between Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson, right? You know, he's a talented playmaker. Mm-hmm. My concern, and the reason I didn't vote for Kyler Murray for Heisman, is I've just seen too many quarterbacks come out of that Oklahoma system over the years. I mean, and a lot of them have struggled when they got to the NFL. Very few of them have panned out. I just feel like that system that goes back through the Stoops years, for whatever reason. I mean, I remember, and I'm sure you were there, Jordy, when Oklahoma played LSU in the national championship game,
yep,
back when Jason White won the Heisman. Jason,
yes,
White was a weakness that LSU exploited in attack.
No question.
With, yeah, the SEC defenses, he became a liability in that game, but he was the Heisman Trophy winner. I'm not saying that's Kyler Murray, but I have some reservations about the fact that he played in that system and put up those gaudy numbers.
Yeah. He's got to go with what he loves doing, so we'll see. But it's such a quarterback-friendly league now, and quarterbacks just don't get hurt anymore. They just don't let them get hit, so why not? The Saints would have – if Kareem Hunt had come to Gail Benson, Mickey Loomis, and Sean Payton and said, please give me a chance, let me come play on your team, would they have allowed it?
No, no chance. Absolutely, yeah, no chance. Not only, yeah, do you have Gail Benson, one of the few female owners in the league – who would object to that. But Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland and Sean Payton, they, one of the things that they had kind of adopted a few years ago and that's been very successful for them is they don't put up with any off-the-field distractions.
Yeah.
And it's served them well. They are very much distraction-free. I know they've had some issues here this offseason, but during the season they have – encountered few headaches off the field, and Kareem Hunt, before he got to the NFL, had baggage. His family background is very shaky. I think he's, in some ways, maybe a little bit. I think there's a concern with him going to Cleveland, mm-hmm, where there's some of that stuff all happened. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. That's not the most functional organization in the world.
No question. Jeff Duncan, we talked about a little bit of everything. I greatly appreciate your time. Welcome back. I'm jealous of the suntan and the fish, but you deserved it. Congrats, and get back to work, my friend. Always, we've been missing your column, so get back to work so we can be enlightened and informed, okay?
Yeah, look, I'm going to Pelicans Magic tonight, kind of survey the scene with Anthony Davis, and eager to see how LSU does up in Oak Corrupt Arena, Jordy. Every charge block call is going against them. Just trust me. It's going to go against the Tigers. They're going to have to overcome that. But it should be a great theater, and Will Wade, I look forward to seeing some good basketball tonight.
Spoken like a true Louisville fan, Corrupt Arena. I've never heard that. I love it. I'm going to steal it from you. So thank you very much, Jeff Duncan. That's awesome, buddy. Take care, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jody. Talk soon.
All right.
Take care.
Corrupt Arena. Loving it. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Much more to come. This is the Jordy Hultberg Show.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Jordy Hultberg Show, brought to you in part by DC's Little Capital Exxon I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Bro Bridge. Everything for your travel needs, every snack, every beverage, every chip, every dip, and that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner, the best darn cheeseburger you'll ever taste. So whether you're going 550 or 500 miles, DC's Little Capital Exxon has what you need. I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. The NBA is just really terrific because they promote their superstars, and there are so many superstars in the game. Just last night, for instance, we talked, you heard in the open, James Harden goes for his 30th consecutive game of 30 or more points. 30 or more points. And late in a ball game against the Portland Trail Blazers, a drive and a kick set up Paul George for a three-pointer, and Russell Westbrook made NBA history on Monday night, a 10th consecutive triple-double, breaking Wilt Chamberlain's mark of 9 straight set in 1968. What is harder to do? 10 games of a triple-double or 30 straight games of 30 or more points? Well, the GOAT, Michael Jordan, was asked the question at a press conference shortly thereafter, and he made it plain and simple. He said, they're both hard to do. They're both difficult. But there's something much more difficult than that, and that's winning 6 NBA titles in 6 attempts, 6 straight. Now, he took that hiatus for baseball, but is anybody doubting that if he had stayed those 2 years, they wouldn't have won 8 in a row? I'm not doubting it, because they would have. So all the individual things are great. Michael Jordan put it in perspective. NBA championships are even tougher to do. And we'll see if Westbrook can and George can lead the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, they're really terrific. They're really terrific. But they're too, don't beat the 5 of Golden State. It just won't. And James Harden's terrific, but his 1 won't beat the 2 of Oklahoma City and certainly won't beat the 5 of Golden State. Just not going to happen. So all the individual things are terrific. They're terrific. And Westbrook, 21 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists in 37 minutes, is league-leading 23rd triple-double of the season. I mean, and I'm going to tell you what. And he's coming to the Smoothie King Center on Thursday. If you don't have a ticket, or even if you don't care about the Pelicans, but if you want to see somebody who gives you everything for your price of admission, go watch Russell Westbrook play. He is spectacular in that he never takes a second off. He is full motor at all times. At all times. And he is worth the price of admission. He truly is. So, enjoy that. The league is in great hands, man. Luka Doncic for Dallas. Wow. Who's going to be their leader of that team? Doncic or Porzingis? Luka's only 19 years old, and he's doing things out there that nobody's done. So there was such a worry in the league of when Michael Jordan finally retired, who's going to take the torch? Who's it going to be? You know, same thing, Bird and Magic, when they're finally done. Well, Michael Jordan was coming up, and LeBron was coming up. And now you got Giannis, the Greek Freak, and you got Anthony Davis, and you got Westbrook, and you got Harden. And now you've got, after that layer, you've got the young pups and Doncic and Porzingis and some of these others. I mean, and don't forget, I don't care what some people say. If Zion Williamson's not a star in that league, I don't know who's going to be. If he stays healthy, who's going to stop him in that wide open game? It's easier to score in the NBA than it is in college. So much more wide open in the shot clock. It's such a free flowing, beautiful thing. So anyway, good basketball tonight. Good. Everybody's talking about the Duke game, but I'm telling you, Kentucky LSU is going to be terrific. And in hour number 2, we'll go back to Lexington. John Clay will give us the Kentucky side of things, and I'll play a little game with him, a game within the game, which is Kentucky is the all-time winningest program in college basketball history. I'm going to ask John for his all-time starting 5 for the Kentucky Wildcats, and I'll match that, and I'll beat him by double digits with my all-time LSU starting 5. So that's coming up in hour number 2. Plus, the new and improved Les Miles? We'll see. Hour number 2, straight ahead. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number 1 sports station, 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Come on back. Hour number 2, next.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
We are back. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. It's great to welcome in our good friend from Sports Illustrated, the one and only Ross Dellinger, who spent some time up in basketball country doing a football story. Of course, the University of Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk and Fog Allen Arena is one of the blue bloods of college basketball. But there's an old familiar face running the football program now. And Ross, I'm dying to find out what you discovered about the new and thinner Les Miles, the Mad Hatter. How are you, my friend?
Good, Jordy. I discovered, yeah, there's a lot of new things about Les, but, you know, he's still the same goofy, kooky kind of Les Miles that we all remember and love from his time at LSU, you know, still butchering the English language and, you know, driving like a maniac and all that, all that good stuff. Has a new diet. Yep, he's vegan. Not completely vegan, as he says. He's flexitarian. So that means that every now and then that he's, you know, 95% vegan, but every now and then, as he says, a piece of chicken might find its way on his fork somehow, and then it finds its way in his mouth. So, yeah, you know, he's still, that speaks to, how he still talks and how he still is. He's still really the same guy. He just got some different things, you know, going on now. And obviously, like you mentioned, kind of at a totally different place with, certainly, the same, not the same challenges as, maybe he had down here.
He doesn't mention that three letter word LSU anymore, does he? What does he call it?
Yeah, he just, you know, that's the thing with Les probably, through his career, you know, he, I guess he just feels weird about, referring to his last place of work or sometimes referring to his chief rivals by their name. But, you know, he'll say, my last stop or the last place I was, things like that. And I don't think it's a hate thing, for LSU, because it was very clear to me that, I think that Les and Kathy Miles, especially, and the family, still love LSU and love Baton Rouge and all that stuff. I think it was more so he out of respect for his new program, you know, is not to talk too much about the last place he was and not to mention the name.
Ross Dellinger, kind enough to join us. Yeah, I mean, I can see him being vegan. I don't know what they serve up there in middle America. It's certainly not the same kind of diet that you're going to have down here. So I think it's a lot easier to be a vegan. But good for him. How's he look?
He looks great. Yeah, he's lost about 20 pounds or so, probably more. He, in a typical Les Miles way, you know, he wouldn't exactly tell me how much weight he's lost. He told me that he weighs between 211 and 250, a 40-pound difference. So that was typical Les. So, but he has, you could tell, he's obviously lost weight. He does the elliptical every morning, lifts a little weights, and then obviously his diet, you know, has allowed him to stay, you know, pretty trim and drop some pounds. So a lot new with Les. It's the old Les, but there's a lot new going on, you know, with him. The other real kind of new thing was seeing Les talk to his watch. He's got an Apple Watch now, which is a change. So, and what I think is the best quote probably of my 2 days with him, I asked Les, when did he start talking into his watch? And he said, when it started talking back.
Jeez. Oh, my God. Less is less. What do the people, Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, you got to talk to people around there. Do they find it funny? Do they find it interesting trying to decipher? Because he has a language all of himself. It took us a while to kind of figure it out down here. Have they figured it out up there yet?
Oh, no, I don't think so. You know, it takes a while to learn the Les Miles lingo. And so, you know, they're certainly excited up there. I'm sure people at LSU are kind of wondering why they would be so excited for a coach who hasn't coached in over 2 years, is 65, mm-hmm. and last time mm-hmm. he coached, had a offense that was nothing like we see today. Right. And you probably wonder why they're so excited, but you remember that Les won 2 conference titles and has a national championship, and Kansas hasn't been to a bowl in 10 years. So there's a lot of excitement around there for him. He's putting his stamp on the program a little bit, doing a lot of things he did and said, when he was LSU's coach.
Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated. I mean, he's lost weight. He is exercising. He is eating properly. I think you mentioned 65. It looks like he's trying to prove to the players, to the administrators, to the world that he's in this thing for the long run. He thinks he can coach for many, many years. That's the impression I get.
Yeah, well, this isn't a kind of quick fix situation that he's in. He's taking over a program that not only has problems on the field, but it has pretty serious problems off the field in regards to the roster. It's just in one of the worst situations probably of any major college football program that hasn't suffered NCAA sanctions. I mean, they'll be playing with 10 to 15 to even as much as 20 players below what most teams have. So they can only sign 15 players on scholarship this past signing class. So it's a difficult situation, and it is a years-long thing. It's certainly not something that can be done in a matter of months. And everybody realizes it up there. I think Les does. I think Jeff Long, the AD, does. This is a 3-4-5 year project, and Les says he's ready for the challenge.
Wouldn't it be great if Kansas and North Carolina scheduled the game? You could have Mack Brown on one side, Les Miles, and let's see who can win the thing. I mean, I think that's a must for college football.
Yeah, that would be entertaining, as would Kansas versus LSU.
I'm curious, Ross. He comes to LSU, and it is a football school. He's got every bell and whistle you could imagine, and they keep spending money to improve the facilities. Whatever you want, you got. Now he goes to Kansas, and basketball's the king. And basketball has all the great complexes, and football doesn't. I'm dying to – I wish I knew what Les was feeling about that dichotomy from where he was to where he is now.
Well, we talked about that briefly. We did. He's not going to say anything on the record or publicly about the difference between the two, really, and where he's at. But, he said things like he likes Bill Self. He knows him. He realizes that the two programs can kind of draw off each other. I mean, they recruit off each other. Kansas basketball players' official visits for basketball are a lot of time – or, excuse me, official visits for football are a lot of times their basketball season. So, the football program wants the basketball team to do well. And basketball official visits can sometimes happen during football or during spring football. And so you just kind of need the two – to play off of each other. And, Jeff Long, the AD there, he has invested in football. He's made a promise to Les to invest in football like they never have before. They just added 12 support staff positions to the program. Doing things that haven't really been done in the basketball world up there.
Interesting. He's back in his element, isn't he? He's a coach. He's not an actor. He's certainly not a broadcaster. He's a coach. I got to believe he's thrilled to be where he is and be able to do what he loves to do.
Yeah, he is. That was kind of the theme of everybody up there when you talk to Kathy Miles and a couple of assistants that have been around Les for a while. He was during retirement. He tried a lot of different things. He was the dad, always on call and traveling around and seeing his kids' games. And he was the actor, and he was the TV analyst. And nothing really. Those things I think he just missed football, missed being a football coach. Mm-hmm. And you talk to people being in this business now for about 13, 14 years, like I have, you talk to coaches who retire or resign, and they'll tell you, they'll all say kind of that similar thing. They missed the kind of the family environment and relationships. Yep. With mm-hmm. players and other coaches and assistants and stuff like that. It is like a big family, and you when they're out of it, they really, really miss it.
Great story, man. Must-read material by Ross Dellinger, Sports Illustrated, Les Miles, trying to win where it's very difficult to win in football at Kansas. And we'll see how it goes on. It's not a quick fix. Ross, thanks for the time. Can you give us a hint? What's the next big story you're working on?
I'm working on a story about junior college recruiting. So it's just first stages. But, excited about that.
It'll be great. Thanks for the time, my friend. Always great catching up, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, Jordy. See you later.
Take care. Ross Dellinger of Sports Illustrated. We'll take a timeout. More to come. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Helfrich Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Big, big night of college basketball. And we've talked about it throughout the show today, but we've got to get some rhyme and reason to this. We've got to get the Kentucky, the Big Blue perspective of things, and there's no one better, no one more historically in tune with Kentucky basketball than the longtime outstanding columnist for the Lexington Herald Leader, Mr. John Clay, who we are thrilled to have on today. John, it's been a while, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Jordy. How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Should be a great matchup tonight. I'm sure Rupp will be rumbling, won't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a big week for Kentucky. They got LSU tonight and then number one Tennessee coming in on Saturday. I was telling somebody a little bit earlier that this is kind of like a retro week for Kentucky back to the old SEC days when Dale Brown and you guys were – had it rocking and rolling. The Kentucky fans love to hate on Dale Brown. And then you got Tennessee coming in on Saturday, where Tennessee's really good, almost harkens back to the Ray Mears days. Yep. If you want to go way back in Tennessee. So, this is for those of us who love and appreciate SEC basketball over the years, this is a very fun week.
Yeah, the Dale Brown and the Ernie and Bernie show, that's going a ways
Absolutely.
Back, and that was some great times. What do you're an historian of this, one of the top 1, 2, 3 college basketball programs of all time. There's no question about it. When I mention LSU Kentucky, is there a moment that stands out? Because I know I have one, and I'm sure yours will be different, but share yours, I'll share mine. How about that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, there were so many good games over the years. One of the games that I remember, I don't know if it's the number one moment, I have to go back and look, was when LSU was really good and Kentucky beat them at Rupp. I think Bowie blocked the shot towards the end of the game to save
Howard
the win
Carter.
In that one.
Yeah.
Right.
LSU,
Carter, that's right.
LSU was 17-0 in the league at that point in time. I remember it well.
Yeah, but there have been so many other. I can remember when Dale came in and beat Kentucky at Rupp, going back to the Dwayne Scales days. In those days, he got some guys out of Louisville and came in and beat Kentucky. I can remember also when you go back to the Memorial Coliseum days, when Dale took off his coat and threw it on the floor at Memorial Coliseum. At those days, when you look back, you know, there were so many great characters in the league. Dale was one of them. Those days were a lot of fun. SEC basketball, it didn't get a lot of attention nationally, I guess, because it was considered a football league all the time.
Right.
But, boy, there were some great players and some great characters, and it was just a lot of fun.
I remember one not so good and one really, really good. I remember on a Mardi Gras, Rick Pitino coaching, and I think Kentucky was down 30-something points in the second half, and the Bombinos went crazy and won that one. But I'll never forget February the 11th, 1978, the eventual national champion Wildcats came to Baton Rouge, and LSU beat them 95-94 in overtime. I happened to be on the court for that one, and that was a memorable moment, my friend. But anyway, great talking about the history of things, but let's talk about the matchup tonight. My gosh, I see some really good point guards. I see a game that you better be a man on the glass because both teams like to rebound it.
Oh, yeah, they're both really good rebounding teams. I think Kentucky is something like third or fourth in the nation in offensive rebound percentage, and LSU's like eighth or ninth. I mean, they both just they both crashed the glass. Be some great matchups. I've really been impressed, and I've had a chance to just watch LSU on TV, you know, four or five times this year. Big B Williams, I think, is an underrated guy for them.
Yes.
The way he can really rebound the basketball. Nas Reed can really rebound the basketball, and he can shoot from outside. I think he's a matchup problem for any team, including Kentucky. And then, as you mentioned, yeah, Tremont Waters going against Ashton Hagans, that point guard, you know, just a terrific matchup between those two guys and the way they play. Tremont's, I know, more of an offensive guy than Ashton is, but boy, they really have a sneaky way of getting that steal and turning defense into offense pretty quickly. So that'll be a great matchup tonight as well.
John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader. It seems like Kentucky always has a guy that can shoot the basketball. That's just always been, whether it's Kyle Macy or whoever it may be. Tyler Hero seems to be the guy this year. Talk about Tyler for me.
Tyler's been really good. You know, it's funny. What is your old buddies? Kenny Payne was saying earlier this year, former Louisville player, is a UK assistant, that you know, he was being asked about Tyler Hero, and he said Tyler loves to tell him, "Coach, I got the dog in me. I got some dog in me." And he doesn't like to have the reputation of the guy who can just shoot. He can play and do other things, but yeah, he's a knockdown shooter when he's got it going. He hit a great shot with the shot clock running down in front of the UK bench against Mississippi State on Saturday when Mississippi State had cut an 18-point lead down to one. It really helped save the game for Kentucky and win the game. Yeah, he's a good all-around player, but when he's got it going, he's really a knockdown shooter, and he's been a big plus for the team this year.
Cal does it again, but I got to believe that having a P.J. Washington on the court makes things a little bit easier because he's a veteran. Right. He's been there, done that, and he's kind of a go-to guy inside.
Yeah, he's scored 20 or more points in five of his last six games. The thing he's really done this year, Doherty, is he's developed an outside shot. He's shooting over 40% from three. He was 3 for 3 from three-point range against Mississippi State. And Cal's not happy. It seems like after every game, P.J. scores 20 or more points, and Cal's keep saying, you know, he can be better. He's got to be better. He said Saturday, he goes after the Mississippi State game, he said, "I think PJ's the best player in the country, but not like he played today." And you had to look down at the box score. I thought he had a good game. He had 23 points, but he didn't get enough rebounds to suit Cal. You know, he missed some free throws. But yeah, he's kind of making that, I don't want to say salary drive, but he's really making that drive here, the second part of the season where you're starting to see his experience show as a sophomore, as a kid who put his name in the draft last year and then pulled out, decided to come back for a sophomore year. And so far he's made that pay off.
Who else? You mentioned the point guard. You mentioned, you know, we talked about Washington. We talked about Hero. But who else is a key component to this club?
Well, I mean, Reed Travis is a graduate transfer from Stanford who is a really physical player who kind of sets a physical tone. I think he'll be big tonight. His numbers haven't been all that great the last few games, but he definitely I agree with Ben Howland, who said after the game, you look at 8 points, 8 rebounds, you don't think much. But if you watched him in the game, the screens he sets, the way he battles on the boards really helps. You know, a guy that you may not think of that I think could be a key player tonight is E.J. Montgomery, who's a freshman, 6'10" freshman coming off the bench. He has started to get better. He's starting to rebound the ball. He had 13 rebounds, had a double-double a couple of games ago. He had 7 rebounds in just like 15 minutes against Mississippi State. And when you think about LSU, like I mentioned with Big B Williams and now as Reed and Emmett Williams and guys like that, if you really go to the boards, I think E.J. has to have a good game tonight and be a key factor for Kentucky.
John Clay, Lexington Herald Leader, tonight, 6 o'clock, LSU versus Kentucky. You can listen to the ball game right here on 103.7 The Game. Right, Kentucky's won 10 in a row, and like, they're on a roll, but Cal says, no, not so fast. What's he complaining about now?
I think he just wants to make sure that complacency doesn't set in, that they don't get too, with a young team, you know, that they don't think, oh, wow, we're really doing well. You know, he thinks they got to play better come March. And I think he knows they got a really tough stretch coming up. LSU tonight, obviously a big game, both 9-1 in the league. And then Tennessee, mm-hmm. number one ranked Tennessee on Saturday. They got two games against Tennessee. They go to Knoxville later on. They've still got Auburn that they've got to play at home. They got to go to Ole Miss. You know, you kind of make that drive for seeding at this time of the year. They were a number two seed in that early bracket, but the top number two seed. I think the main thing is he knows, you know, I got a young team. I don't want them to get complacent. I don't want them to think, okay, this is good enough. I don't really need to get push myself to get better. And I think that's the reason why John has said, you know, I'm going to hold everybody accountable. And if you think everything's fine, it's not fine.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, he's doing he's got this formula down, doesn't he? He breaks them down and then builds them back up and gets them ready to play when it counts. See, I don't think people give him enough credit, John Calipari, and Will Wade certainly has addressed that. Says, look, I'm trying to integrate three or four freshmen into this year's club. It's hard to do. Cal does it every year.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, this is about the time of year. You know, when they start to play, you can start to see things starting to mesh together. And it's been, like you said, they've won 10 straight. Jordy, I've been really impressed with Will Wade. I mean, I liked him. I followed his career back when he was at Chattanooga and went mm-hmm. to VCU. I thought he did a heck of a job there. I thought, you know, even last year when they were 18 and 15, you could see signs, you know, that, hey, this guy's a young, up-and-coming guy who's a really good coach. The way he prepares his team, I was really impressed when they played last year, the way he had his team prepared to play. You know, I really think that LSU really was onto something when they hired him in the future of the LSU basketball. And you mentioned about incorporating those young guys in the way he has done it this year with his young guys. I think their future is very bright, and I think that's good for the league. I think it's really good for the league when LSU has a good team and their fans are really into it. It's a fun place to go to see a basketball game, mm-hmm. and I think the league is better overall when LSU is good.
John, people around here don't like me for saying this, but I know how much Kentucky values basketball and how important it is to their athletic department and to their state. John Calipari is not going to be there forever. And Will Wade's a young coach. I'm just saying, eyes will be on him, right? I'm just being honest.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You never know. And I think that's right. Like I said, I followed Will back when Will was at Chattanooga, knew some people there, and the job that he did there, and then of course at VCU, and being at VCU before that as an assistant. And I thought when LSU hired him, I think that guy could be a good hire. And I've been really impressed with the job he's done so far. And as you mentioned, just incorporating those young guys in and the way they play.
Let's have some fun here, okay? Because you're going to be the coach of Kentucky. I'm going to be the coach of LSU. One game, winner take all, all right? You give me your all-time, it could be any player from any era. Give me your five best Kentucky Wildcats. I'll give you my five best LSU Tigers, and we'll see who wins this thing, all right? One game, winner take all. I'll go first. I'll start off.
Okay.
I'll go with the – I'll just put a guard – I think I'll put Pistol Pete in my group. How about that?
I think that's a pretty good choice, yes.
All right. Your turn.
Oh, it's my turn. Okay, well, if I go with a guard to – all-time Kentucky, and this may be biased because he was there when I was in school. I'll go with Kyle, that you mentioned Kyle earlier. I'll go with Kyle Macy as my guard.
Kyle Macy, all right. I'm going to go back to the backcourt. I'm going to go with Chris Jackson, now Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. How about that? Chris Jackson. So my backcourt's already averaging 70, okay?
Okay, well, I'm going to go with even though they'd both be point guards, I might go with John Wall as my point. I might move Kyle off as my off guard, but I'll take John Wall.
Pretty good. All right, you want to go forward next or center next? What do you want to do?
Either one.
Let's go center. Let's go center. I'm going to go with, let me see, Shaq. Yeah, Shaq.
You know, right. I am tempted. That's a really good. I am tempted to go with Dan Issel. all-time leading scorer. Maybe I'll put him at power forward, but I'll go with Anthony Davis as my center.
Ooh, that's a good one. Even though he's not very popular right now in this part of the world, well, but that's okay. That's okay. All right,
maybe
let's see.
Maybe that puts more of a chip on his shoulder. I don't
know. Yeah, forwards. I'm going to go back in time, I'm going to go with Bob Pettit, all right?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to put Bob Pettit in there.
Oh, wow. Right, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Okay, if you're going to go back in time, I'm going to go back in time, too. One of Bob Pettit's best friends. I'll go with Cliff Hagan.
Here's
a quick story, Jordy. One time I was coming back from a game, and the girl sitting, this young girl sitting beside me, was Bob Pettit's daughter.
And
we talked about Cliff Hagan and their dad's relationships, and what great friends, and back to their NBA days and before. And that was neat to get to talk to her. So I'll just out of sentimental value, I'll go with Cliff Hagan.
Cliff, not bad. And I'm gonna cut. I don't know why I'm gonna get argued with my buddy Rudy McLaurin here, but this kid's so versatile. He's gonna be a great NBA player. I'm gonna put Ben Simmons in there. He had one really good year at LSU, so I'll put him in there. So we've got some ball handlers, some size, some shooters, and you're going with Dan Issel, I believe.
I would go with Dan. Yeah, I would probably go with Issel. It would be Issel or Jamal Mashburn. I think Jamal Mashburn was instrumental in Rick Pitino getting things turned around back in the early 90s. I don't think you could go wrong with either one of those, Issel or Mashburn. So I'd even let you pick between the two, whichever one you want to go up against.
It doesn't matter. I kind of like my team, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like your team, too. I'd love to see the game. It would be a heck of a game.
Yeah, they could charge admission for that one, and we would
pay for it.
All right, well, what are the keys, real quickly, you think, tonight for Kentucky to get win number 11 in a row?
I think goes back to like you talked about earlier. I think rebounds are going to play a big key in the game. They got to limit LSU's second chance points. I think what was it, 29-1 against Auburn in second chance points.
They
got to take care of the basketball. When they've had little lapses, the laps they had Saturday when they let Mississippi State come back, they had some careless turnovers. Ashton Hagen's a freshman, had some careless turnovers. They got to hold their own on the boards, and they got to take care of the basketball.
John, always a thrill to talk with you, my friend. Enjoy the ball game tonight. It should be a great one. Tips off at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock your time, and we can't wait to watch it, buddy. Always great. Safe travels, and we look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thank you, Jordy. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, buddy. John Clay, just a terrific, terrific writer, longtime writer, and a great historian of Kentucky basketball for the Lexington Herald Leader. All right, now it's time to play. We've got the X's and the O's, the Jimmys and the Joes. It's time to play. We'll be back. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station and home for the LSU Tigers. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, here we go. Finishing touches. We're just a couple hours away right here. 5:30 pregame show. 6 o'clock tip, LSU versus Kentucky. And again, we all know LSU's a good basketball team. They're going to be in the NCAA tournament, barring some uncharacteristic collapse. But this is an opportunity to see where you are in the big picture, where you stand come tournament time. Can you play with the big boys? And I think they can. I think they can. We shall see. We shall see. Got to shoot the ball better on the road. That's it, plain and simple. You can't have these droughts. You can't have these moments where you fall behind, give up a 17-0 run and fall behind by 15, because I'm telling you, once they smell blood at Rupp, it's over. It's over. Very, very few come back at that place. There'll be 24,000 people screaming. It's a big-time game. National television, Dickie V's on the call. You can hear the ball game right here on 103.7 The Game. So turn down the sound on your TV. Turn up the volume on your radio at 103.7 The Game. Yes, indeed. All right, let's go to our daily history lesson, because it was on this day, February 12th, the year 2000, we were introduced to the term Vinsanity. Yes, Toronto Raptor Vince Carter dominated the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest. I can see him vividly after one high-flying throwdown, shouting out to the world, "It's over! It's over!" And it surely was. And Vince Carter, at 41 years old, still playing NBA basketball at a pretty nice clip. Pretty nice clip. Vinsanity introduced on this day, February 12th, the year 2000. If today is your birthday, man, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great day. You share it with the late, great Abe Lincoln, born on this day. Saints linebacker Craig Robertson celebrating a birthday today. Many will argue one of the greatest basketball players of all time, certainly the winningest, Bill Russell, the center of the Boston Celtics, 84 years old today. So happy birthday. Robert Griffin III is 28 years old today. DeMarco Murray is 30 years old today. So happy birthday to all of them and to all of you. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. Hope you keep adding year after year after year to it. So, tomorrow we'll get a recap of the LSU-Kentucky matchup. Our good friend Cody Worsham will join us. It'll be another edition of Hump Day with Huguenin as well. Special thanks to our guest today, John Brady, in Lexington for the call of the game tonight. Jeff Duncan on his thoughts on all things in the NFL. Ross Dellinger for sharing some insight into the new and maybe improved Les Miles, trying to win at one of the toughest places in the world to win in college football, and that is in Kansas, at the University of Kansas. And, of course, John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader. We appreciate your participation and your interest each and every day. We really appreciate our partners for their support each and every day. And I am especially thankful to my producer extraordinaire, Mr. Clint Domain, who goes above and beyond to make this one heck of a two-hour ride every day. So, hope you have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. The weather's nasty, so be careful. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station. Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Until tomorrow, I'm Jordy Helpert. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty. Hit it!